So now you know Peter DeRose. Well, I don't know how much you know about him. He was a composer about 80 years ago, very popular. He wrote two tunes, one of which you will hear today that's very popular. Many of you will know the tune, even if you didn't know the title. He wrote two pieces based upon color, purple, deep purple, and a lesser-known piece, which is very lovely, called White Orchid. And this goes back about 80 years. You're going to hear Deep Purple by Peter DeRose, sung by, and here we go again. I know we've been doing, and oh, by the way, before I even talk to you about these people, I must apologize to you. My informal promise was when I first came in here that I would do what I normally do as a musicologist and a musician. I deal with the classics. And I've been doing almost nothing but pop. And it's only because I have such... I'm very democratized about pop. I love pop. I'm very desirous of learning as much about pop as I can. I don't play a note of pop. I have no way of learning how to be a pop pianist, for instance. It's just that I have a great affection for pop. And that's what I've been doing all this time. I promise you I will get to the classics maybe as early as the next time I'm here. So I am a square peg in a round hole, but I do have a lot of affection for pop. And you're going to hear a little more pop today. We have been discussing the great vocal talents of Cleo Lane from Britain, and you know the force she's at. She is as much as a performer. Today you will hear a songstress from this country. Her name is Diane Schur. She's not as well known as she should be. It's not that she doesn't have a wide audience, but like Cleo Lane, very well known as a musician's musician, and they both have wide audiences. For instance, Diane Schur, who was born in the Seattle area, she's still with us. She was born in 1953. Therefore, I assume she's slowing down right now. I think the last thing she may have come out with was around 2014. She was born with some retina problems at birth and was blind before she left the hospital as an infant. And to this day, I'm not sure whether there was any litigation, whether hospital was sued for blinding her and that sort of thing. That these kinds of words have been bandied about since that tragedy. So she is a blind artist. She is a unique artist, and that's why I thought that those of you who have not heard her sing before should know what she can do and who and what she is. She was precocious as a child and was born with a perfect pitch. And you'll hear it in her voice. She's incredibly accurate. And she sings pretty straight. She does improvise, of course, as a pop star. But when she does improvise, and you will hear it in the third tune especially, I'm doing three tunes today, the first of which, of course, is Deep Purple. When she improvises, she wails. Now, you've heard the sound of the word wail. Oh, does that gal wail? Well, we talk about a wailing here that is in such control. This is her form of improvisation. It's absolutely wonderful. She throws, if you will, quotes, throws her voice around, but she always hits the middle of the note that she throws her voice at. She has, and this is incredible, a 3.5-octave range. Wow. I mean, she can sing from the high male range right up through to where she is comfortable at, and that's what you will hear today. Now, Deep Purple is a beautiful tune, and I should talk to you very briefly about the reality of what I call storytelling when it comes to pop. My sense of getting inside something, even though I'm not a specialist in pop in any way, I like getting inside of the process of what we are to hear, whether it's pop or classical. The inside in this is are the words storytelling. I go back to, say, Frank Sinatra. It is not generally known. And one of the great reasons that Sinatra is whom we know as a great, great musician and will be for a long time to come in terms of recognition is that he was a storyteller. It's not that the voice is so incredible. It's attractive. But most people don't realize, I believe, that what Sinatra did in many of his tunes, if not most, and no one can be sure whether it's many or most, he would learn the words first to the tune he chose to learn, make a story of it out of the inflection that he gave to the... In other words, he would tell the story to himself or in front of a mirror or whatever, and then add the music. So when you hear his music, think of the reality, the off rhythms that you hear based upon the rhythm of the words. It's almost Shakespearean. He wound his music around the words that he spoke. And this is what you're going to hear in... This is what you hear in great pop pop stars. And Diane, you will hear her storytelling. Listen to the story as well as you listen to the sound that surrounds the story, and you're going to get even more impact. And that applies to listening to Sinatra or Mel Torme or any of the great pop stars. I'm not sure that they were conscious of the words storytelling, but it's obvious that this is what they did, whether they realized it or not. I think in Sinatra's case, he realized it, and that's why he learned his music first by learning the words most of the time. Deep Purple is a beautiful tune engendered by the beauty of the meaning of the words plus the tune itself. Listen to a great voice. Here is Diane Shore.
Do you want to play Diane Shore first, or do you want to hear Peter DeRose?
Oh, well, Peter DeRose is the composer of Deep Purple.
Oh, all right. And she's still the vocalist.
She's singing Peter DeRose's Deep Purple.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. Here is Deep Purple at WMFO.
The sun is sinking low behind the hill. I loved you long ago. I love you still. Across the years, you come to me at twilight to bring me love's old thrill. When the deep purple falls over sleepy garden. Once again, I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on. When moonlight beams, and as long as my heart will be. Lover, as long as my heart will beat. Lover will always meet here in my deep purple
The trumpet player you heard was Maynard Ferguson, the Canadian trumpet player who was one of a kind. He was playing in the flute range, for those of you who know.
And for those of you who think you might know that name, he also did a version of the theme from Rocky, Gonna Fly Now. I think that was the mid to late 70s, so that's a very familiar name.
Yeah. Les, you're outdoing yourself. That was so beautiful. I mean, what did we say? Just a big band in there?
You can't shoot the messenger. All I am is the messenger, so I'm doing
the right thing. We're not going to shoot anybody. That was great.
Now, toward the end, I should have mentioned it before, and I'll prepare you by saying you're going to hear Maynard Ferguson again in the third tune. Awesome. Did you notice how she became the trumpet player as he became the singer? This melding of the idea of cross ventilation, if you will, pushing the air through the hole to get to the other side. They both become each other. And this is part of what I call great music making. For me, I have just as much of respect when I hear something like that as when I hear Arturo Toscanini doing the NBC Symphony Orchestra. It makes no difference. I'm totally democratized. When I recognize what is great, that's all that counts. That little wailing at the end also reminds me that I should tell you that she loved Sarah Vaughan. And Vaughan did wail.
You can tell the influence.
Yeah,
really.
It's there. Yeah. Also, Ella. And, she's still with us. She sang with B.B. King, sang with other Ray Charles, for instance. So, I mean, she is well known. It's just that there may be some of you who may not have heard her or should hear her more. And so I'll go on now. Now we have an up-tune. We're going to hear Sweet Georgia Brown. The composer was Ben Burney. Ben Burney was a social orchestra leader back in the 20s and 30s. I think this was written in 1925. And again, I'm not a musicologist in this field, but I think that's where it goes. Of course, Sweet Georgia Brown, you know. But listen mm-hmm. to her sing an up-tune. I think you'll like this.
No gal mate has got a shade on Sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet but also neat has Sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and wanna die for Sweet Georgia Brown. I'll tell you just why. You know I don't lie, not much. It's been said she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, why, it's a shame how she cools them down. Fellas, she can't get our fellas. She ain't met. Georgia claimed her. Georgia named her Sweet Georgia Brown. Milk our maid has got the shade on Sweet Georgia Brown. Georgia Brown, I'll tell you just why. You know I don't lie, not much. It's been said she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, why, it's a shame how she cools them down. Fellas, she can't get our fellas. She ain't met. Georgia claimed her. Georgia named her Sweet.
gives you an idea of the storytelling of it. You know, are you listening? And if you're not, you should. Listen for the impact of the story enhanced by the music. We know, you know, strangely enough, music first and lyrics second is the usual situation. But at the same time, they both tickle each other. They come back and forth. They reciprocate. There's a reaction that comes out of the word that enhances the music, which in turn goes back and helps the word. So involve yourself with the third. Mark,
before you move on, I just want to, for some reason, while that song was playing, I wanted to dribble a basketball.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah.
You know why?
Yeah.
Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, of course.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's right. It shows you there's no originality, is there?
No.
It's wonderful. Well, that's golden originality. A good point, Mark. I never thought of that. You made a basket just now.
First one ever.
Now, the third and last one you hear will, by the way, this time I will not forget to mention to you that you're going to hear again a duet between Diane Schur. By the way, her name has two U's. How about that? S-C-H-U-U-R, in the event you want to know. She sings with Maynard Ferguson again on the trumpet. Listen to, after Maynard Ferguson has his piece in the middle of it, how she returns as a reactive to what he had just done and how they end this thing together. It's an amazingly wonderful involvement with a great tune written, Johnny Green, Body and Soul. Do enjoy this one. I think you will.
one more chance to prove, dear, my life ahead you're making. You know damn well my heart you're breaking. I gladly surrender.
There you have it. I thought perhaps you should know more about her or know of her, whichever your category is. But she was, is perhaps still singing, a great, great storyteller, and happens to have a wonderful voice at the same time. And that's what pop music really should be thought about as a real and solid, important art. I'll get back to the thing that I like to do. I haven't done it yet on this program, and that is classical music soon. I promise you very much thank you for listening.
Okay.
And do we have to? I mean, I want to hear more of that.
Yeah, it was just
that's
awesome.
Just, I feel like we should be smoking cigars, drinking cognac, and wearing smoking jackets right now.
Yes, I neither smoke nor drink. I'll just be a pedestrian on the side.
Okay.
And hopefully you guys are going to come back, I think, April 9th. Is that the next time?
It looks like April 9th. Right? Yeah. Okay. It looks pretty good right now. Yeah. We'll definitely let you know, but okay. I'd say 99%
now. Would you like classical next?
I would love, whatever, you know what, whatever you want to do. I just love it when you come in with these. These great tracks.
Thank you, Mike. I'll be with you on that.
Okay. Let's move to the other Hurwitz here. Mark is with Boston's Hidden Restaurants, the owner of review sites of hidden restaurants around. Got a companion blog called Boston Restaurant Talk. Does a lot of writing for Dig Boston, Boston Magazine. And Mark, let us know what you got for us this week. Can't wait.
Well, for once, I'm actually going to start with a review from Dig Boston. Not from my site, but from the Weekly Dig, as they used to call it.
Okay.
And it's Donahue's in Watertown. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of hidden away in a neighborhood in East Watertown. And it's just, you know, it's a good, solid pub with two rooms. One room is live music and karaoke and trivia nights. And the other room is a little more kind of set up for groups, families, couples. Big booths where you can sit, round booths and hang out. And it's just a solid restaurant and bar that's been around for, I guess, almost 20 years. And it's survived. I mean, it's a real survivor because there have been places that have moved in near it, chains, that the chains kind of do what they do, but they don't do it as well as Donahue's. And Donahue keeps puttering along, doing well. And It's good to see. It's your classic neighborhood pub. You know, the owner's a great guy, and it's a real local hangout. So not too many people know about it. It's on a side street, and it's in East Watertown, which is actually full of a lot of good restaurants and bars. So that's for Dig Boston. That was out this past week. Another one's coming out for Dig Boston in a couple weeks. As far as hidden restaurants, been to a few lately, including, I think I told you about Brothers in Brookline.
Yep.
And the Ashmont Grill in Dorchester. But been to a few more of late. Actually, I'll do a little preview of one. Haven't posted the review yet. But there's a new place in Cambridge called Kimchi Kitchen. And you can barely see a sign out front. There is a sign, but you can barely see it. It's just kind of hidden away. It looks like a mixture of a sub shop and almost like a woodworking studio or something. I mean, it's just brightly lit. There's all like new wood in there and these hard chairs, and it's just really brightly lit. And you can't even tell what it is really. You walk by it and realize, oh, okay, that's a restaurant. And they have street food, Korean street food. So a lot of really cheap eats type stuff. They have kimchi, obviously. They have pork stew. which is the pork stew is outrageously good with pork shoulder and they have an incredible broth that has I think it's pork stock, and they also have bulgogi and all the Korean specialties, noodle dishes, rice dishes. They have a rice dish where they put a fried egg on top, and not for everybody, but really rich flavor to it.
What, not everybody gets an egg?
A lot of people get freaked out by fried eggs for some reason. I really don't know why. But it is a great, great place. And it's new. It's cheap. It's definitely worth going to. So I think we have to go there. You know where? It's really close to the Lone Star Taco Bar. I think it's about a block away.
Okay. And maybe we can hit them both at the same time.
We could definitely hit them both. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And one more. This was actually brought up. This is more of a news story, but it's coming back. Maybe the best bar pizza in Eastern Massachusetts. Wow. It's coming back. Alumni Cafe, which used to be in Quincy, they closed down a few years ago, and they are reopening in Weymouth in the Shaw's Plaza, which is Route 53 and Middle Street. So, kind of close to Route 3. And their bar pizza rivals, if not surpasses, the Linwood and Randolph, which is considered...
Oh, wow, you always say that that's... Yeah. So bar pizza is really thin crust, goes all the way to the edges?
It's a thin cracker-like crust. It's about a 10-inch pizza that's cooked in a pan, and usually has a mix of cheddar cheese and mozzarella. It's got a spicy sauce, usually homemade, not out of the can. And some do it out of the can, and then they actually put some spices into it, which is fine. But theirs is homemade, and it's a cracker-like crust that it's very tough to replicate if you're a home cook. But like you say, the cheese extends all the way out to the edge of the crust, and it's so good, kind of like Monty's and Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
But alumni, when I got word of this the other night and wrote about it, people went absolutely bonkers. I mean, you could actually feel the earth briefly for a second. The earth kind of tilted, I think. It did something.
You know, people say that you overreact, but I don't get that at all.
Oh, no, not at all. No, no. So, but that's about it. You know, it's been a fairly slow couple weeks. I mean, it's been a busy couple weeks, but also slow and as far as new reviews, but there are a couple more coming out soon.
You've made me very hungry. And I think it was last week, too, because of the beautiful weather, you had an article about places that are opening up their patios, too.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, a few of them already did open their patios. Yep. Allura and Marlboro, which is a terrific place, they briefly opened their patio. And the problem is Boston, they don't allow you to open patios on the street, I think, till April 1st, at least in a lot of cases. But if you have an established patio off the street, you can have it open like KO Pies in East Boston. Their patio has been open. So, and that's another place worth going to. Good luck finding it. It's behind a guard gate. You have to go through a guard gate to get to the restaurant. You have to tell them you're eating at the restaurant. And crazy. If they trust you, you can have dinner. If they don't trust you, you probably got to go on Santarpio's.
Well, if somebody wants to reach you to say, Mark, how do I find this place? They just go to Hidden Boston and leave you a message?
Yep, hiddenboston.com. They can get in touch with me on Facebook or Twitter or any of the social media. And like I said, doing writing for Dig Boston 2, Boston Magazine, Boston Globe.
Yep.
Some stuff coming out in the next couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. We got about a half hour left, kids, until about 11 a.m. when something about the women comes in. I did mention on the thread in Facebook, I'll try to get your requests as soon as I can during this half hour. But first, I want to start with something new. It's a band I have never heard of called Andy Frasco and the UN. The disc is called Happy Bastards. So this will give you a little insight into what they sound like. Great song. It's called Good Ride, WMFO.
Crazy. wants a piece of you, baby. You know it's true. All the fellas trying to give it you, baby. And me too. But don't you give it up, darling.
WMFO, everybody, 10:44 in the morning. It's Mike on the mic. Just want to break in here for just a second to say goodbye to our guests, Mark and Les Horowitz. You guys have to go.
We do have to head out.
All right.
But it was fun. It was great today.
Thank you so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
So much good music. The Diane Shore, that was amazing.
Yeah, and Les, you just outdid yourself. That was great.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
I'll never outdo myself.
You did. You did. It was just great.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
All right, so hopefully we'll plan on you guys coming back April 9th.
Sounds good to me.
Right. All right, take care. Have a great day.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, going to continue with this set here that we started. It's kind of blues. This is Robert Cray Band, everybody. WMFO.
I can hear the couple fighting right next door. Their angry words sound clear through distant walls. Around midnight I heard him shout, unfaithful one. And I knew right then the axe was gonna fall. It's because of me. It's because of me. I heard him shout, who is he? She mumbled low. He said, baby, don't you lie to me no more. I'm listening through these thin walls in silent shame. As she called out my name, I was right next door. It's because of me. It's because of me. It's because of me. It's because of me. Such a strong persuader. She was just another notch on my guitar. She's gonna lose a man that really loves her. In the silence I could hear the breaking heart.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's WMFO in Medford. Mike on the mic here, getting ready to get out of here in deference to our friend Sue Edelman for Something About the Women.
Good morning.
How you doing, Sue?
I am so good.
Oh, really?
No.
Nice.
I mean, I am. I will be.
All right.
Let me tell you. I'm just a little out of breath at climbing the three flights of stairs.
I think it's late this morning. Those stairs mock us.
Well, you know, I schlep up old school like CDs and devices and things, and so
did you
so,
ever snap a picture and show people what you got with you?
No, but sometimes it's in the background because Jimmy James comes in for the for Crash Course for the Ravers, yeah, and he's always snapping pictures of me. I feel like the paparazzi show up.
I know. He takes such close-ups of me too. I'm like, don't do that so close.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Jim.
I'm like, put your thin filter on there, Jimmy.
Just kidding, Jimmy. Just fine. And let me tell you quickly what we played. That last set started with a new one from Andy Frasco and the UN, the Happy Bastard CD just out. It's called Good Ride. The great Johnny Lang, Lie to Me, was next. Joe Louis Walker, a great request for Dave Riley. Thank you, David. Everybody Wants a Piece. The Robert Cray Band, right there. Just a great live version from the Cookin' in Mobile CD that was right next door. And kind of a bittersweet, sad.
That song's killer.
Oh, Robert Cray?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that live version was sick.
Yeah, no, I think maybe the first song of his that I really knew. Maybe there was one other before that. But what a bastard.
I know.
She was just another notch in my guitar.
That's all she was.
You should have thought of that, lunkhead.
Should have thought of that, man. I know, but that's the blues, you know what I mean?
Well, she's got the blues now.
She does. Yeah, love that. Glad you heard it.
Yeah.
And very bittersweet. That was Emerson, Lake and Palmer from the Great Brain Salad Surgery CD from the beginning. You know, we lost Keith Emerson, apparent suicide, I guess.
And, oh, really?
Yeah,
that I didn't know.
That's terrible. It's just really sad.
So I just assumed it was old age.
Yeah. No, it's apparent suicide. That's what it says.
Oh, that's terrible.
I think it was ill.
So more it was like self-euthanasia.
Kind of.
Yeah.
What a great musician. Another one that we've lost.
You know what? We're at that age, Mike, where all of our heroes are starting to die.
Starting to realize that.
Yeah, it's not so good.
You always cheer me up.
I know. I shouldn't be a therapist. All my patients would commit suicide.
Oh, okay, changing the subject. Just about 10:58 in the morning here on beautiful May. May.
See, seems it like looks May. Like May. My crocuses are up.
March. Oh, I'm sorry. Have you seen a doctor about that?
My crocuses croaked.
March 12th today, everybody. Beautiful weather today. In the lower 60s today. A little cooler tomorrow. A little bit of clouds. But a beautiful weekend. Get out and enjoy it. What do you got coming up on Something About the Women today?
You know, I've got some new music. And I've got some old music, and I've got some moderately aged music. No, just all over the map. All over the map today.
We'll free play, form, baby.
Oh, yeah. It's totally free form, totally women from now until 1 o'clock. And I'm really excited. Trina Hamlin, who's a great performer. She's out in Western Mass, and she plays harmonica, so, you know, kindred spirit mm-hmm. thing. But she just sent me her latest, and I'll be playing that, and some new music from some local artists and some faraway artists.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know you're going to be playing this lady, too, a little bit later
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah, Bonnie Raitt.
I just wanted to fit her in because I love Bonnie Raitt.
She was on The View this week.
I saw that.
It was great. They were very respectful of, I mean, they kept pointing out her age and that she's been a star for 40 years. But they were very, you know, they deferred to her in a way that I think she deserves.
Totally.
And she'll be at the Orpheum on I think it's the 29th, and I will be there.
Very nice. All right, this is from Bonnie's brand new record, everybody, called Dig In Deep. And the single is Gypsy In Me. Thank you for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. Talk to you next week at 9. Stay tuned for Something About the Women. It's Sue Edelman.
Woo!
WMFO.
Well, that highway moon is calling like some lover.